This month, we visit New York's iconic Madison Square Garden. It is one of the world's most famous indoor arenas. New Yorkers call it the Garden. The venue has hosted many of the world's most celebrated sports events and concerts. A major venue. What exactly is Madison Square Garden? It's a sports venue. It is home to New York's basketball and ice hockey teams, the New York Knicks and the New York Rangers. It is also a world-famous concert hall. Elton John has appeared there 62 times, a record. He said, "Madison Square Garden is my favorite venue in the whole world." And Billy Joel stated, "It has the best acoustics and the best audiences. It is the holy temple of rock and roll." In fact, the venue has hosted historic performances from groups like The Doors, The Rolling Stones, The Jackson 5, and U2. Madison Square Garden is still popular today. Lady Gaga brought her Monster Ball tour there earlier this year. And young country star Taylor Swift's concert tickets sold out in a new record of 60 seconds. Marilyn. Madison Square Garden has played a central role in the history of the USA. It was the venue of President John F. Kennedy's 45th birthday party. Marilyn Monroe sang "Happy Birthday, Mr. President," and there was a scandal. It was here that Rocky Marciano defeated Joe Louis in 1951. Joe Frazier beat and then lost to Muhammad Ali in the 1970s. It is also the venue where World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE, first became a huge success with stars like Hulk Hogan. A great location. Madison Square Garden is located in the middle of Manhattan on 8th Avenue. It's built on top of Pennsylvania Railway Station. The streets outside Madison Square Garden are yellow. There are always hundreds of New York taxis. If visitors can cross the road, nearby they will find Times Square and some of New York's most famous shops, like Macy's Department Store. This month, we visit New York's iconic Madison Square Garden. It is one of the world's most famous indoor arenas. New Yorkers call it the Garden. The venue has hosted many of the world's most celebrated sports events and concerts. A major venue. What exactly is Madison Square Garden? It's a sports venue. It is home to New York's basketball and ice hockey teams, the New York Knicks and the New York Rangers. It is also a world-famous concert hall. Elton John has appeared there 62 times, a record. He said, "Madison Square Garden is my favorite venue in the whole world." And Billy Joel stated, "It has the best acoustics and the best audiences. It is the holy temple of rock and roll." In fact, the venue has hosted historic performances from groups like The Doors, The Rolling Stones, The Jackson 5, and U2. Madison Square Garden is still popular today. Lady Gaga brought her Monster Ball tour there earlier this year, and young country star Taylor Swift's concert tickets sold out in a new record of 60 seconds. Maryland. Madison Square Garden has played a central role in the history of the USA. It was the venue of President John F. Kennedy's 45th birthday party. Marilyn Monroe sang "Happy Birthday, Mr. President," and there was a scandal. It was here that Rocky Marciano defeated Joe Louis in 1951. Joe Frazier beat and then lost to Muhammad Ali in the 1970s. It is also the venue where World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE, first became a huge success with stars like Hulk Hogan. A great location. Madison Square Garden is located in the middle of Manhattan on 8th Avenue. It's built on top of Pennsylvania Railway Station. The streets outside Madison Square Garden are yellow. There are always hundreds of New York taxis. If visitors can cross the road, nearby they will find Times Square and some of New York's most famous shops, like Macy's Department Store.
During her career, American film star Meryl Streep has become famous for her ability to imitate a broad range of accents and her role as British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher in The Iron Lady is no exception. The film is directed by Phyllida Lloyd, who also worked with Streep in Mamma Mia, and the supporting cast is impressive. Jim Broadbent plays Dennis Thatcher, and Richard E. Grant is the conservative politician Michael Heseltine, while the young Margaret Thatcher is played by Alexandra Roach. The producers admit that it was difficult to find financial backers for the film. But Meryl Streep says she didn't hesitate when she was offered the title role.
When Phyllida came and said, I have a film that circles Margaret Thatcher's life and issues around a woman leader like that, I was already immediately, of course, interested, because there aren't very many woman leaders. There aren't filmmakers who are interested in investigating what it meant to be a woman leader. And so I was really, really interested.
Yet the film is not a documentary about Thatcher. so much as a human drama.
One thing you really do come away with an appreciation with after playing a character of sort of Shakespearean proportions is you have, I feel very humble and daunted by the prospect of what she really took on her shoulders. It's an enormous, terrifying, devastating position to be consigning people to life or death and then to put your head on the pillow at night. People think, you know, there is no toll. And we do look at public figures as if they're monsters or gods. And, you know, the truth is everybody falls sort of in the middle.
Margaret Thatcher was a controversial political figure, but The Iron Lady is a non-political film.
Well, I didn't come into the film with a political agenda about Margaret Thatcher. I honestly knew shockingly little about her policies. I knew that they were in line with many of President Reagan's policies with which I was more familiar. We were sort of more concerned with the toll that takes on a person, that kind of decision-making. When you're the leader and the buck stops here, what does it do to you as a human? And how much stamina does it take to stay strong?
Both as a woman and an American, Meryl Streep says that she initially felt like an outsider.
For me, as an actor, just walking into the first day of rehearsal was incredibly daunting because there were all these wonderful British actors, and I think there were about 40 or 45 of them, and I was the only woman in the room, and I sort of had the feeling Margaret Thatcher must have had when she walked into the Conservative Party. All those gents were so great to me and welcoming in this territory where I really don't belong as the interloper, the American. But in a way, I had courage to play Margaret Thatcher because she was an interloper in this Oxbridge-Etonian Conservative Party into which she marched undaunted. And I thought, well, if she can do it, I can do it.
Yet she enjoyed the biographical aspect.
The best part of making the picture was really the opportunity to look at a whole life. Because at this point in my life, you do look back and you think about the whole history. Sometimes it's overwhelming how big a life can be, how crammed with events that seem momentous at the time. It was an interesting thing to follow a woman who grew up during the war and follow that through the post-war time in Britain and time of privation and rebuilding, and to see someone put together their own philosophy and put it into action, into practical solutions for what she saw as the deficits in her country's economic well-being.
During her career, American film star Meryl Streep has become famous for her ability to imitate a broad range of accents, and her role as British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher in The Iron Lady is no exception. The film is directed by Phyllida Lloyd, who also worked with Streep in Mamma Mia, and the supporting cast is impressive. Jim Broadbent plays Dennis Thatcher, and Richard E. Grant is the Conservative politician Michael Heseltine, while the young Margaret Thatcher is played by Alexandra Roach. The producers admit that it was difficult to find financial backers for the film. But Meryl Streep says she didn't hesitate when she was offered the title role.
When Phyllida came and said, I have a film that circles Margaret Thatcher's life and issues around a woman leader like that, I was already immediately, of course, interested because there aren't very many woman leaders. There aren't filmmakers who are interested in investigating what it meant to be a woman leader. And so I was really, really interested.
Yet the film is not a documentary about Thatcher, so much as a human drama.
One thing you really do come away with an appreciation with after playing a character of sort of Shakespearean proportions is you have, I feel very humble and daunted by the prospect of what she really took on her shoulders. It's an enormous, terrifying, devastating position to be consigning people to life or death. And then to put your head on the pillow at night. People think, you know, there is no toll. And we do look at public figures as if they're monsters or gods. And, you know, the truth is everybody falls sort of in the middle.
Margaret Thatcher was a controversial political figure, but The Iron Lady is a non-political film.
Well, I didn't come into the film with a political agenda about Margaret Thatcher. I honestly knew shockingly little about her policies. I knew that they were in line with many of President Reagan's policies with which I was more familiar. We were sort of more concerned with the toll that takes on a person, that kind of decision making. When you're the leader and the buck stops here, what does it do to you as a human? And how much stamina does it take to stay strong?
Both as a woman and an American, Meryl Streep says that she initially felt like an outsider.
For me, as an actor, just walking into the first day of rehearsal was incredibly daunting because there were all these wonderful British actors, and I think there were about 40 or 45 of them, and I was the only woman in the room, and I sort of had the feeling Margaret Thatcher must have had when she walked into the Conservative Party. All those gents were so great to me and welcoming in this territory where I really don't belong as the interloper, the American. But in a way, I had courage to play Margaret Thatcher because she was an interloper in this Oxbridge-Etonian Conservative Party into which she marched undaunted. And I thought, well, if she can do it, I can do it.
Yet she enjoyed the biographical aspect.
The best part of making the picture was really the opportunity to look at a whole life. Because at this point in my life, you do look back and you think about the whole history. Sometimes it's overwhelming how big a life can be, how crammed with events that seem momentous at the time. It was an interesting thing to follow a woman who grew up during the war and follow that through the post-war time in Britain and a time of privation and rebuilding, and to see someone put together their own philosophy and put it into action, into practical solutions for what she saw as the deficits in her country's economic well-being.